First, just to give you an idea of Acts 29, most of you would be familiar, but we are a single agenda network. We are not a denomination. We're a network of churches that plant churches, that plant churches. They're about church planting. That's it. We're not a music label, not a publishing label, any of those kinds of things. I've heard Jono sings, definitely not a music label. But that's what we are. That's what we're about. We partner with multiple denominations right through. So I know even Australia and New Zealand, well, Anthony's Triple CNZ. I keep going C3, but it's not C3. Triple CNZ. And then from Australia, we've got Melbourne Anglicans, Sydney Anglicans, guys in the Presbyterian Church, independent churches, a wide spectrum of where we are. So we hold certain things very closed hands theologically, which I think we can all appreciate being at a conference like this. And there's other things, methodology and contextualization, we hold very open-handed. And there's some theological issues we hold a little bit more open-handed. We love to debate those, we love to talk about those, but we're not going to let them divide a network of what we are. Now, the things that we do, it's easy to remember what Acts 29 actually does. You just take the letters, we do assessment, it's the A, we do coaching, training and support. They're the things that we aim to do as a network. We don't want to replace your denomination or any kind of family churches or networks that you have, but we do want to supply that and be a part of that. And work alongside, if that makes sense. So it might not be a direct, hey, where are they up to? But if you're getting some of that support, some of that training from your denomination, we want to provide training in terms of church planning. We don't want to take away from that denomination, but we may subsidize it, or even that might be the only place you get that kind of training and support. For me, so I think there's only one of us, Dave Fandy and myself, the only ones that were at the first Acts 29 boot camp in Australia for Australia and New Zealand, and that was back in 2009 in Brisbane. So we're from that point right through the whole process in Acts 29 over the last 10 years has changed dramatically. I think a couple of things is the assessment's changed a lot, but also the maturity of the network. So it got to a point, I remember we just had Matt Chandler up. I don't have any sexy graphics, but he was up there waving his hands around at a pastor's retreat and said, it's now time for our network to grow up. And that was a significant moment for it. It became an international, more focused internationally network instead of an American-based network that had parts everywhere. We were an international network. So we're at 800 churches, member churches now. We're about 180 candidate churches, which I'll explain through the system. Very quickly, it's going to be over 1,000 churches, and that's right across the whole globe. So we have a number of regions that we're split up into. So Australia and New Zealand, obviously. North America split up into certain regions, US West, Southwest, all the different directions, and because they're a bigger network, Canada. Our last network that we've launched is X29 Middle East, which is pretty exciting. Africa, Southern Africa, and then we have emerging regions. And emerging regions picks up all the little pieces in between until they're strong enough to develop their own network, and then they roll them out as their own network. So obviously long-term plan is New Zealand becomes its own X29 network. X29 Australia and New Zealand, we've just basically adopted X29 Japan. So they have 4 churches at the moment. So we're actually helping them. They fly out for our network conference in February. We're bringing those guys to that conference to get the rhythms of what we're doing. We're actually going to be assessing another Japanese church plant there. But at the same time, it's not Australian guys assessing it. We're bringing out a couple of the Japanese guys from their churches and their wives to sit in that and to be trained on how to do assessments so they can go back and contextualize it and do their own assessments in Japan. So it's kind of exciting that we're not just the little brother in Australia and New Zealand of North America. We actually are doing things that other networks don't do. We're actually been on pretty much the forefront for a long time on how we do our assessments, our coaching training. We're kind of like the testing ground. And sort of go, well, who will try this? And we've quite often picked that up and said, we'll give it a go and see how it works out. So for us, I just want to talk about why we do assessment. A lot of you guys have been in ministry and everything else, and it's nice for us. We actually sit back and assess people for ministry positions or whatever it is, relationships even, of how that goes. But biblically, we call it a call or conviction. I don't want to get over spiritual in just saying, you know, you're called by God, because we're all called by God to be ministers of the gospel, or a conviction. So what we see basically biblically is that it happens in three chords, I like to explain it as, for that to be a really healthy call or conviction. So you have that internal call and internal conviction, and that can vary from God directly speaking to you. I haven't met too many people that has happened to them, but it could be just that underlying conviction that, you know, I need to do this, I need to plan, I've got to go about that. There's usually something of that. Even if people tend to go, you know what, no, I just don't think I'm the guy, but I see this need and I have a passion for a people or a place, and I don't know what to do, especially in our cultures. We're not going to be the guys that charge the hill and go, yes, that's me, let's go. We don't. We kind of go, well, it's got to get done, and it looks like it's going to be me. And we find that God gives us that conviction in that way. The next is, and one of the things we look at, is it biblical? It's great to have a conviction or a passion for something, but is it in line with Scripture? We don't want people going, yeah, I have a call to do this thing, this ministry, this church. And we go, yeah, but you're killing a church in the process of doing it. Yeah, you're not submitting to godly authority. Is it biblical? So we want to answer those questions. And the third part of what we provide, Acts 29, a lot of it, we look at those things. But the next one is an external confirmation of that conviction. So often we get people and we go, we want outside eyes on this. We want people's opinion of where they're at. So that's part of what we wanted to be able to do as Acts 29, not just for churches and people to plant and to join our network, but to provide that external eyes on things. So we want to do that. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit in that. We are not the Holy Spirit. So quite often, you know, people might not line up. They might go and do it. We're not saying that when we do an assessment, you're not a Christian. If it doesn't line up, we say no. That's not what it is. Doesn't mean you're not going to be effective in ministry or even a pastor. It just may mean that we don't see an alignment at this point in time for who you are and who we are and the agenda that we have, which is churches planting churches, planting churches. Does that make sense? Any questions, then just jump in, seriously. And if I got it further on in my three notes, we'll be good. So to do that, all those things, the support, assessment, coaching and training, we do that in the context of church planting. Okay? We don't want to just have a preach-off. It's not a healthy conference. We want to direct it towards something. We've done conferences on healthy churches, so healthy leadership and healthy congregations, because we want those in our church plants. Church planting, obviously, and multiplication and all different aspects. So we want to be able to do that. Now, we have a number of different assessment tracks that we run people through. Once upon a time, when I first came into the network, what it was the one online set of questionnaires. You sat down with a guy by the name of Tyler Powell out of Seattle. He grilled you for a couple of hours, and then you turned up to an assessment. You sat down at a desk, and they put a box of tissues in the middle of the table, and they basically grilled you for 3 hours until either you cried or they gave in. That's pretty much the way it worked. You cried, Ellen cried. There you go. I think Jono was the one who cried at Jono's. I'm just saying, definitely wasn't Lauren, man. She's hardcore. I think I lost it. I was shivering really cold. I really was. I was shivering. They actually offered to go and get me a blanket. We were outside. That's how bad ours was. But it has matured in the way we've done it since then. So we've gone from that process to now having a number of different tracks, and even the way we do our interviews and our assessments are different. So we have a self-assessment tool. It's online. It's a series of questions, some videos. That if someone's just going, maybe I might do this, we just, first of all, if they're in your church or it's you just go and have a look. Hear a bit more of the language of Acts 29, hear a little bit more about what we think, our philosophy of why we do it. And you sort of go, yeah, okay, that's me. Obviously, the whole time we want you to be biblical in that and seek external guidance. So if someone is not in a church, we don't care if it's Acts 29 church or not, and they come to us and go, I want to plant a church out, one of our first questions in our questionnaires really filter out is, what does your pastor think? What does the rest of your church think? And who are some of the people that know you and speak into your life? Where are they at with those things? So we want to value those things, not just our opinion and what you think of yourselves. It's pretty important, because I know where I would have been if it was just up to me and what I think of myself, we would have been in trouble. So we do a self-assessment tool. If that progresses, we have a tool that is called Exploring Church Planting. That's for people that are 2 to 5 years out. And it doesn't have to necessarily be that, but maybe a location isn't quite set. You're just feeling that conviction. You want to explore it a little bit more. You don't want to go full on into an assessment, but you're just wondering about it. So we did suggest that. Now that has an online component. I'll get to some of the things that are in the online in a minute. At the end of that, I would walk with them through that process, any questions, but we basically let people work through it at their own speed. They come back to us and we sit them down with a planter and their wife. So we want to see them and their wife if they're married. If they're not, that's okay. Sit down, they just have a conversation. They've read the packet, the information they've supplied, and they talk about what are they thinking, how are they thinking, just some of the things that they've done, maybe their experience, just trying to filter out some of those things. At the end of that, a report is given pretty quickly, and it just outlines some strengths, maybe some growth areas. We do not say, hey, yes, you should go and plant a church at the end of that. It's 2 to 5 years out. We don't know location. We don't know how. We don't know strategies. We haven't really pushed into a lot of that stuff. You know, we've looked at some character stuff. We've spoken to the wife, but we want to have that conversation just to fill it out a little bit. But if there is something glaringly obvious to that assessment team or through that packet that they just go, you know what? No, you actually might have to read your Bible, or you might have to go and sit in a church for a little while, or maybe we think you might have to, in a couple of years, go to seminary. Not that we say that you have to go to seminary to plant a church, but maybe that might be a good idea. We're not scared to say that. We are not scared to say those things because we value Jesus and his church far more than what we're thought of and our own reputation. Because no matter what, people who want to plant a church and they've got that thing about them, they will gather people. Whether they want to or not, they've probably got people following them and listening to them now, and we don't want to see them, their family, all those people, and the church reputation in tatters. So we're going to ask those hard questions. I worry about any kind of organization or even a church that doesn't ask the hard questions. It's more loving. So we'll do that. If there is something there, we'll say, hey, hold on, you really need to shelve this. You need to go and just be a Christian for a little while. There could be something as simple, maybe your marriage, it's really obvious. Your wife had no clue you're doing this. She actually doesn't think that very much of you. You know, whatever it is, and we'll just ask those questions. The next one is preparing to plant. That is for someone who's going to start a church from scratch. They might have a small core group. They're in the early stages. That, again, is an online component, a little bit more thorough. So we look at things of theology, pastoral theology. We do a survey that goes to a peer, a disciple, and maybe a mentor. Is the three categories that we like to see. We ask the wives to get a survey done of other women that are in their lives, that speak into them, that can sort of gauge them. We don't want to send a guy out to plant and his wife's not on board and it will tear a marriage apart. That could be the worst possible thing ever for us. So we want to do that. There's also a financial statement, just how are you going with your finances? There's some confidential paperwork, which hits on things like you've been arrested, drug use, pornography, extramarital affairs, all those things that, you know, it's like that bag, point A. We just want to go, okay, here's this document. It's private and confidential, but we want you to be honest on it. So husband and wife both signed that. We have that. After that's done, I have a phone interview with them and just ask for some of those things to be verbalized, basically, because it's great to be able to write them down. Sometimes you actually need to be able to articulate them. We're not looking for this perfect just narrative of what you've written and expressed beautifully, but can you articulate what the gospel is? Not just write it down. It's great to be a blog pastor, but you might actually have to speak to people occasionally. So we'll run through those and I will ask if there's anything glaringly obvious from that assessment paperwork that we go, well, this could be a red flag. That's when I'll ask some questions, because I want to get as much data and as much information for the assessment teams that step in after that. If there's something that we just need to hit pause, we'll hit pause during that time. So look, go back, come back and do it later on. From there, we go to what we call an assessment conference. Instead of the sit-down interview that we used to do, we run an assessment conference over 2 days. And we invite multiple planters and their wives, if they're married, into that place. And it's over 2 days. We assess things. We get the guys to preach. The wives get some time with planters' wives. So we'd have... So was that yours, Jono? You and Lauren. And then there was Greg Gardner and Fiona and myself and Adam Ramsey. Is that right? Yeah. So normally we've tried to do it like that, but at least there's got to be one of our wives there. Most of the time we try and have two wives and two husbands. And sometimes that's not husband and wife. It might be a bit of a mixed group, but generally husbands and wives usually work pretty well together. They pick up different things, so we try and keep them together. In that, that's the interview. But if there's multiple couples that are being assessed, we've done up to 8 couples in one assessment conference, which was too many for us. It was big and it was great, but we didn't get a chance to really build those relationships that we want to do over 2 days. So 2 to 4 is really great. So we have assessors, we'll have meals together, get the guys to preach, as I said, wives will have some time. We'll talk strategy. How are you going to plan it? What are you going to do? What's your plan for being a church, planting church that plants churches? Things like that. So we just sit them down, do a pastoral piece. So we'll give them a situation. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's hypothetical, most of the times it's real. And we'll just sit the couples together facing each other and say, you guys just discuss it. You don't have to solve it, but discuss it. And we just sit back and listen to how they discuss things. Who reaches for the Bible? Who says, you know, we should be praying with that person, how that works out. So we look at those things. During those 2 days, we also have 2 interviews. So we'll sit down, have an initial interview, hit some of the paperwork, hit some of the things that we've heard. The second interview is the last thing we do on the assessment conference, and it frees us up to be able to go, you know what, I don't see that you're a planter. This is why, potentially, explain to me why I'm wrong. Just tell me around. If not, if it's great, then we go, okay, well, how are you going to do this? How are we going to refine this plan? We've had some absolutely great assessments when those interviews. We have had husbands turn to wives and repent for just where they're at, their own realization, not even us. We've had guys ask for advice, and then we sort of have to say, hold on, we're meant to be asking the questions, not you asking the questions. But other times, we've actually been encouraged as assessors. I think it's one of the great privileges we have to be able to look into people's lives, but we learn so much. You come away going, oh man, that guy had that great idea. Or pastorally, he was doing this way. I'm going to start implementing some of that. So it's a bit of a two-way street. At the end of preparing to plant, within 2 weeks, you get a report. And that report has 4 outcomes, which I'll get to in the next bit. What we've done, originally we had that one assessment track, which did everything. But now we have what we call it existing churches. We morphed it to a little bit like the preparing to plant. I mean, that's what Jono went through. And now we've morphed it some more. And what we want to assess there, we don't want to just, we don't covenant with just one guy anymore. We covenant with the eldership. So Acts 29, if your lead pastor, if Anthony, steps down, then we still covenant with Redeemer, Acts 29. And we want to help Redeemer have potentially that guy that we can be contactable, but we want to make sure the health of that church is okay. Everything's okay. And they're still about churches planting churches. So we call them a transitional church. But basically, we developed up a track for existing churches where we go and do a visit. We meet with maybe if there's a lead pastor and his wife, we have a meal. They've submitted online components, not as thorough for preparing to plant because we don't need to know whether they can plant. Most of the time, they're 3, 4, 5. Sometimes we just did one in Queensland out of Toowoomba, and they planted 9 years ago. We don't need to assess whether they can plant. We just don't. They're doing it and doing well. We want to talk about how you're going to multiply, how you're going to be a church planting church. How's the health of the church? Then provide them with an opportunity to ask us questions and to make sure we're a good fit for them as well. So we do that with husband and wife. Then we'll go away and then we'll have what we found we did well in the last one. We can adapt it, which is great. We can sort of move it around. We had dinner with all the elders, their wives and their families in one of the elders' house. We had a barbecue. So it was myself and my wife and another assessor and his wife. The 4 of us met with them. We had dinner. It was great just to get to know them, to hear their stories a little bit more. Then at the end of that, not that the wise were excluded, but the guys, we just all went next door. We had a chat with the elders, asked them some questions, and they got to ask us some questions, and we prayed together at the end of that. And that was so beautiful as an existing church, just for them to feel good with us and us to feel good with them. At the end of that, we have a church visit, which we've broken off. Normally you do one part of it on Saturday and then do the church visit on Sunday. But sometimes we know that's not possible. So we go, okay, we'll do that part. And then someone from Acts 29, would just like to come and be at one of your gatherings, just to get a feel for it, just to see it. And just so we can better pray for the church, you know, just to check it out, maybe talk to some people, not ask them any questions, but just to get to know them a little bit. That's the existing church. Now, out of both those preparing an existing church, we have the report. There's four outcomes that come out of the report. The first one is, thank you, Dr. John Piper, for wanting to plant in New Zealand. Please, you're an experienced pastor. What can we do to help you? How can we work together? We've only ever had one of those approved go plant in Australia and New Zealand. You're sitting in his church. Anthony was assessed long before we started this. How long ago, Alan? 35 years ago or something. It took him a long time to get going. 10 years ago. We weren't doing assessments in Australia at that point, and they sent him out to plant. Took a little while, but that's what it was. Majority of people that go through are then approved with conditions. So we all have areas of growth. We all want, you know, to help get some information. So we say, look, you're going to move on to be a candidate church, but here's some conditions. Here's some things we think would be helpful, healthy for you and for your church plant. Here's some things that we're just little questions we'd like you to clarify for us, but they shouldn't hold up what you're doing or where you are, our relationship. So there might be a book report, which will bring me to the next one. So we'll do conditions from books. We've often done, if you're moving to an area, maybe a missional diary. Just go out, meet people, write down who you met, what you're thinking, maybe observe the rhythms of what's going on. Sometimes it's even as simple as, hey, institute a date night. Not that all of us are, hey, we've got to have a date night, but maybe that's something that we see that's necessary. Maybe it's work, maybe it's how you balance the two out. It's just, we want to see it grow and be beneficial. So that's condition two. The next one is potential with strong conditions. So these are more, yeah, we can see the potential for you to plant a church, to do that with Acts 29, but there's some longer term, bigger things that we think you should walk through. Maybe go to seminary, maybe sit under some godly leadership for a couple of years or a year. Maybe it's just process through the hurt that you've experienced at a previous church and why you're thinking about doing this. There's potential there, but you've got to go through that. So that's it. And the fourth one is not recommended. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Just means that at this time we don't see that, or the partnership, and we don't align fully in that. God bless you. If we can serve you in any way, so be it. The only other track we have, which Jono pointed out, is we would call it an experienced church planner. So that is someone who's had 25 years or more experience, who may have planted or multiplied out of their church many times. That is a far less, they've done it. Now, we just want to make sure there's a conversation and a relationship, and that we're on the same page for how that would move forward. We haven't seen that yet, but we have that facility in place to be able to do. I also serve on the leadership for what we call the Rural Collective, which is a worldwide initiative of Acts 29 to looking at planting and replanting churches in rural contexts around the world. We're actually looking at taking some of these assessment tracks, and one track we're looking at is, how do we assess multiple lay elders without that one point guy? So maybe we've got multiple point people that are more responsible or gifted in certain areas in that church. How do we look at that? And things like no time frames, no metrics. So we always say, you know, gather and have committed 30 people to your church before you move from candidacy to church. But in rural context, man, 30 is a mega church, and you could thrive for 50 years with 30 people. So we want to be able to be very aware of those things. As we finish assessment, I'm just trying to finish and put it up as a portal, the structure for coaching. So we've got certain guys that are gifted at coaching, and we want to be able to assign a church planner, a coach, so they can have a monthly conversation, and we've got a series of topics and just things that will spark interest, maybe a blog post or a sermon. The planter can pick those things, watch that, and have a conversation with their coach about how that applies in their area. It's not a condition, but it just sparks conversation and keeps them focused on what they got to do and tickles them where they're itchy, right? So how do I form a core group? But they might have a core group of 40, so they want to know, well, how do I set up small groups? Or what do I do, employment, or launches, or buildings, or insurances? It could be any of those things. We want coaches to be able to speak into all those aspects. So that's what we do in coaching. Training is obviously something you're here at. We very rarely do we close the doors and say this is an A29 event. At our network conference, which will be in Sydney this year, which, Sydney, not my favourite place. We have an assessment conference the Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday night, we have our board leadership team will meet. Wednesday, we'll have AX29 members and their wives come in. We'll do some training there. Elders will come on the next morning, and then the conference doesn't actually start till Thursday. So we kind of build it up, and we want to have it more accessible to more of the church. More time. That's the only time we really close the doors. Most of the time, what you see is what you get exactly from here. That, in a nutshell, is assessment. I'm sure I've missed something. So we want to see a globally diverse network, and that doesn't just mean skin color. We want to see that race, context, all manner of diversity within AX29, and we want to see it globally. The CEO of AX29 is Steve Timmis in Sheffield, who is a pastor. He's a pastor of a very, he's a genius, really. He's a very gifted man. As part of the Crowded House Network, wrote a couple of books with Tim Chester on these things. And so he's CEO. He has a very global vision for what it is. He works with a board on AX29. So the president still at the moment is Matt Chandler, but the board runs that. And then we have guys that are heading up diversity. So we run the three initiatives that AX29 look at as the Rural Collective. Is Church in Hard Places, that some of you guys might have heard of, with Mez McConnell and Matthew Spandler Davidson. Mez books you've got in the bag. Yeah, in the bag, out of 9 marks. And then the other one is Islam. So looking at how do you plant churches and replant or start stuff in the 1040 window, especially in Islamic cultures. All these things have overlap. So I'm able to work with Matthew Spandler Davidson on Church in Hard Places. He is actually a pastor in rural Kentucky. But we find all the Church in Hard Places stuff and the rural, they overlap. Poverty and just mental health and just identity issues that are particular those things, there's so much overlap, so much overlap. And I'm sure eventually what will happen is as the Islamic collaborative builds up, that will have tools that will be able to be used in our cities and our neighborhoods that to reach those people. Even though they're focusing on one area, we want to be able to make sure we can share those resources.